Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 9 of the Three Quarter Time podcast. We're 9 down.
Dang.
Look at us go. We're flying.
1 week to go.
Today. Exactly. How good. Today, we are going to touch on Anzac Day. We're going to touch on the Blues. Are they back? We're going to touch on the suspensions. We're going to touch on the international stuff, a lot happening in the NBA and the EPL at the moment. But first, how are you, lads? Janus, how are you? How's your weekend?
I had two very tough losses on Sunday, so that was a day of mental
Morning.
Reflection for me. So I'm a bit tepid right now.
Hey, Dub, what about yourself? How was your weekend? What did you get up to?
Me? Not a lot. Just a bit of work stuff, bit of this, preparation for this, bit of this, bit of that. Bit of a lot of administrative stuff. What else did I do?
Weekends.
Watched a fair bit of basketball. Fair bit of hockey. Bit of ice hockey.
Ooh.
It's playoff season.
How's Canucks going?
We don't talk about that. They missed the playoffs.
They're not featuring, are they? Yeah,
no, they had a bad season. No. Lucky this isn't a hockey podcast, because I reckon I could genuinely talk about the Canucks for 2.5 hours without drawing breath, and you two wouldn't get a word in.
See, it was funny because...
Forget the knowledge gap, but, like, yeah.
Well, when West Ham lost... Oh, no. Yes, we lost. Cookie decided to ring me first thing in the morning, and I proceeded to speak for 25 minutes. About how crap we are, and he didn't say a single word.
I was just laughing. I thought it was really funny. I should have recorded it.
You should have recorded
the worst
it.
Part.
But yeah, so I could genuinely talk about how bad West Ham are for 25 minutes, or an hour, or 2 hours, or 3 hours.
But anyway, we've got no time for that. We're on a strict time limit. So
we are
going to get into the footy. I'm going to get into the footy flashback for this week.
Well, bang! Here we go.
We have an interesting game. We have 1979.
Oh, bang.
Jeez. It's a bit before us, I think.
We have Collingwood's biggest ever win.
Ooh.
On this day, the 28th of April. They beat the Saints 31-21, 207.
Sheesh.
3-11-29 at Victoria Park. At that time, wow. It was their biggest ever win. Oh, sorry. At that time, it was their biggest ever score. It's still their biggest ever win. There you go. Round 4, 1979. Now, I got a question.
Sure.
Who were the two brothers playing for Collingwood in that team?
Two pairs of brothers?
No, sorry. There was one pair of brothers. Who was it?
For playing both for Collingwood.
Yes. Like, for example, Nick and Josh Dacos, but it wasn't the Dacos.
In the 70s.
You want to know?
In the 70s.
Tony Shaw and Ray Shaw. What is it?
Bang. There it is.
Oh, oh. Yes.
That's phenomenal.
If it wasn't them, I was in trouble.
Yeah, I know. I knew you might get it. There was another bloke with the last name Shaw in the team as well, but he wasn't related to them. Do you have any clue who it was?
Greg.
Billy.
It was Derek, man.
Derek Shaw. It sounds like
we're
Derek
in the ballpark
for the Pistons.
With vintage of name.
Mate, very close. But there you go.
Yeah.
So that's the footy flashback for this week. An absolute belting.
Would you say they kicked
31-21?
31-21, 207.
That's 52 scoring shots. Sheesh.
So to what would St Kilda?
3-11-29.
Just a lazy 178 point win.
That's a drubbing.
That is a genuine mauling.
We'll have to see the free kick count in that game, though.
Oh, yes.
Didn't know if they recorded him back then.
Probably not.
Yes. Now, Collingwood. Let's just kick off Anzac Day. What do we think about that match?
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting. It was a wet affair. It reminded me of the Zaharakis days.
Oh,
the wetness of the game.
Yes.
You go, T-Dub.
First of all, Anzac Day. It's a day of thinking and day of
reflection.
Thanks and reflection. But from a pure footy element, it is quite possibly one of the worst days to be a Carlton supporter because one of Collingwood or Essendon have to win. That's why I was so happy when they drew last year. But that aside, Collingwood are a very good football team. They are a very, very good football team. Essendon showed more promise, I feel, than they have in previous years. Like, they look a bit more hardened and fair dinkum than they have in previous years. But, I mean, they're shot to pieces with injuries at the moment too, the Bombers. I mean, they've got no ruckman. I know Goldstein, he played, but, like, he might have had a few tap outs, but, like, around the ground, he's no match for anyone in the comp now. And, yeah, I mean, I'd say Peter Dacos has got the most valuable baby juice in history. Like, his boys are so good. Him and...
Old boy.
Fairdinkum. Yeah, old boy. I mean, they're so good, Nick and Josh. And so Sidebottom. Really turned back the clock. We've got it here that's... He was Collingwood's youngest captain in 57 years. But
Nick was, yeah.
Yeah, and then... Yeah, Sidebottom is just in career best. I know, Cookie, you've been big on him, especially in the last sort of, I'd say probably year. You've definitely, he's definitely been on your radar as to how good he's been. So, yes.
What do you think, Janus?
Yeah, Janus, what are your thoughts?
Well, basically going off what you said, Collingwood look the real deal. And to be honest, Essendon never looked like getting them. They got thumped in the first quarter. And apart from that second quarter, maybe 15, 20 minutes into the third quarter, they were completely outplayed. I mean, I was just shocked at how much space they gave Collingwood. I swear, they got the ball unimpeded so many times. Like, Dacos, Nick's first goal, the game, mate, he was standing in literally 35 acres of space and dobbed it off a step.
Jeez, he flushed that.
He flushed that well.
Whisper kicked that first goal.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, jeez. They link up through the middle of the ground. They move the ball with speed. Everyone sort of gets involved. And what I found really surprising, it was a wet game, but they played like it was dry. You know what I mean? Right. Like they took great marks. They didn't fumble. They were clean. Essendon had to work. Every time Essendon pushed, they had to work so hard for their forward entries. They had to work so hard. But it was so easy for Collingwood. Just to rebound back, bang, three kicks and a goal. And all of that pressure that Essendon had built, released.
Yeah, no, couldn't agree more.
They're the real deal. They're the real deal.
They're definitely the real deal. Massive game this Saturday night. The Cats. Let's move to, I want to go to Saturday afternoon.
Yep.
The Lions gave the Saints an absolute bake. And I tell you what, I don't know if you've seen the footage, but Ross Lyon...
Oh, he was not a happy boy.
He was not happy. He was on the bench, like, screaming at players, which is good. You want to see that when they're getting an absolute bake, especially at home. Now, what do we think of, particularly I want to talk about Garcia being dragged in the second quarter. Mm. He was touted as a bit of a saviour, we'll say, for the Saints midfield at the start of the year.
Oh, I wouldn't say saviour, but like...
Not saviour, but...
Like a gun.
Something to look
like
forward
someone
to.
They can... Yeah, exactly.
He was in just about every single Supercoach prediction Instagram post.
But I wonder if that has gotten to his head. I wonder if he's gone... I wonder if that's been an outside impact on his output.
Well, regardless, he got dragged. What do we think about it? The last time a player got dragged... He left the club and is having a career best year at the Dogs. So I'm talking about Matt Kennedy, but anyway, what do we think? What do we think about Garcia? I guess from my perspective,
I mean, he's only
fair
young.
Enough. Yeah,
he's only young.
I think it's so good,
like,
for
yeah, I mean, it shows that he's, to him, it shows he's not invincible and he will have to work hard. Like, it's not going to come easy for him. And to be honest, especially if you have Ross Lyon as a coach, that will build mental resilience. So it will show that it's not a walk in the park being an AFL footballer. But listen, heat of the moment, you get dragged. That's football.
He's only 19.
Yeah, exactly right.
I didn't actually know he was that young.
He's only 19. That's a very young age to be delivering that sort of spray.
Oh.
To be fair, though, that sort of spray happens at...
Big old-fashioned.
Happens at any age group, depending on the quality of the coach. I mean, as someone who's been involved in junior footy at various levels, you see some old buggers. Like, they just, like, they'll absolutely rip into this group of under-12s. It's like, mate, they're 11. They're not even in high school yet. Like, chill out.
Yeah. But I wonder if that shows the we'll say, potential of the player, if they can, like, if they can get a bake like that. You know, I feel like the coach is like, well, they can probably handle it.
Did he respond?
I remember Jack Scrimshaw got an absolute bake from Sam Mitchell. I think it was halfway through last year.
Wasn't that the Sydney game? That was the Sydney game.
I can't remember, but...
At the MCG, I think.
He didn't get dragged, but Mitchell gave him one.
At the end of the first quarter, he tore into him.
Yeah. And ever since then, he's been much better, so...
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it.
Sam Mitchell got dragged in the 2012 grand final after throwing away the ball.
And so he should have.
And he responded. Won the next three premierships.
Not a Brownlow.
But yeah, so even the best get dragged.
He'd won before that.
Yeah, sure.
He'd won it before that.
What another game? What's another game you want to touch on, Janus?
Well, I reckon one of the better games of the round was the Port Adelaide versus North Melbourne game. Now, before we touch on the game itself, big bit of news coming out of that game. Paul Curtis has gotten 3 weeks for his tackle on Josh Sinn. Now, I personally don't agree with it, but given how the AFL have interpreted those tackles, he was always going to get 3 weeks. What do you boys think?
What do you think, Cookie?
Maybe I've changed my mind after listening to the radio today.
That fireball?
Yeah.
But of course Kane's going to say...
Kane's going to say, get it. True. It's a Port play, of course.
He's got rose-coloured glasses when it comes to Port.
He thought he should get 2. I'm like...
It's not how it works. Yeah.
I feel like it should be 0 or 3, but it's probably going to be 3.
Well, got
I don't agree with it at all. Hate it, actually, but... They can't do anything about it at this point.
And the thing with the tackle is both arms were held, so there was no chance for Sin to protect himself.
Yeah, but that's like the perfect tackle. That's the
point. It's the perfect tackle, but the AFL isn't care anymore. You get a head knock like that, and the tackler isn't showing any intent to, I don't know, caress the player to ground. They're going to get 3 weeks.
I mean, he kind of did just pile drive him into the ground.
Then what about like the whiz on Harley Reid? You see like the AFL like publicizing that? It was literally the same tackle. You know what I mean? Did you guys see that tackle?
I didn't see that.
I was enjoying my Sunday night. I can't say I was watching Hawthorn West Coast at Marvel Stadium.
I wasn't watching it either, but they posted it on Instagram and then everyone's like, this is the same tackle, just Harley Reid doesn't get concussed and the Wiz just talks mad crap afterwards and then it's the best tackle in the world. That's my point. If it doesn't end in concussion, it's the highlight.
But did Pete Ling's tackle on Mullen in Gather Round, I don't think that was a concussion. But he's still got a week for that, Pete Ling.
Yeah. Not a sling, though.
Yeah, that was completely different.
Oh, it was a bit... Yeah, sorry. It was a sling.
Anyway, we'll see what happens. They're challenging it.
He won't get off.
I'm comfortable with both, personally.
He won't get off.
He won't get off.
I think he should, but he won't. My spirit for the game, feel for the game, love for the game says, like, get it. Don't quote this. Get him off. But my, like, why are you holding up the footy card?
I just got a Paul Curtis football card. It's found it on my desk.
But then my analytical side says there is a duty of care there. You can't. He pile drove him into the ground.
Mm.
I don't care what force. He pinned both arms and slammed his head into the ground. Like, the way I think about this is, big hypothetical, if you had a 10-year-old running around, would you be comfortable to see your kid tackled like that, arms pinned and just slammed headfirst into the ground? Would you be comfortable with that?
That's a good question.
Because ultimately,
that's playing footy.
Yeah, if he was playing footy, or her, could be a girl as well. Like, if you had a kid who was 10 and they got tackled, and it was the same result, because let's face it, kids can get concussed as well. Would you be comfortable with that tackle? Like, that's a preventable incident.
I feel like I'd be happy. Well, I think if they're playing football, I'd be happy with just a free kick. I don't know.
It's actually a good question.
That's a good point.
But if someone...
Part of me says yes, part of me says no.
Like, my kid goes back with the flight, cops a knee in the face. Yeah, you went back with the flight. Of course, you're probably going to have your face split open. But, like, I don't know. Is it preventable? Yes. Therefore, I'm comfortable with it being a suspension as well as also not being one.
Mm. It's a real double-edged sword, isn't it?
We'll see. North gave a good effort.
They did.
Just could not get the chocolates.
That is very true.
But that's another game where they're competitive and they're happy with being competitive.
Well, fair enough.
I think it was
they were a bit better than what I usually
give
them when they're being competitive. That's a tough game.
Honourable loss, which is an acceptable honourable loss because they've been rubbish for the last month.
I mean, it was a good, what's the word? The good showing after getting absolutely crucified by Carlton the week before. But in that game, they still got beaten up in the first quarter.
Tell you what, North.
Zerha didn't have a touch until halftime, I think. Larky was astoundingly. Well, he shows that he's a human. He was astoundingly inaccurate. He had some horror shanks.
Nat Fife-esque.
To be honest, North missed a lot of regulation, very gettable set shots. But they kept the team to under 100 points for the first time this year. No surprise that it's because Griffin Logue and Aiden Corr have been pulled out of the team. So, respect.
Surprisingly, the Yaks, both of them.
Yeah, well, it's good. And
Dawson was pretty good, actually. He wasn't that bad.
Yeah, Dawson was all right. But I feel like watching that game, I'm starting to question whether LDU is all that. Whether Sheasel is all that. I feel like in that game, when it really mattered, I felt like it was only, as one of those mids, it was only Wardlaw that was really, really trying to get them over the line. Like, geez, he's a gun, and I think he's a player that North can't afford to lose. Like, his effort and his commitment to the ball, like, he doesn't get high touches, like a high amount of touches, but he's impactful with them. Kicked a great goal on the boundary line as well, but, like, his repeated efforts in the same contest.
Mm.
Like, kid's a bull. He's a bull, and I think North's midfield, particularly, they stand taller with him in the side.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sheasel just suffers from, confidence. I haven't seen a player lack confidence like he does since probably Harry Mackay in 2023. Even though the Blues won 9 in a row, he was just bottom of the barrel. Like, he was in not in a good way, confidence-wise. I mean, in the final against Sydney, he missed from the goal line in the top of the square.
Yeah.
So, like, I haven't seen a player. Like, Sheasel is a good footballer. He's a very good actually, I'm gonna look down the barrel for this one. Harry, you're a good footballer. You're a gun. You just need to believe in yourself a bit more. You just need to have a crack.
As a great man once said, you just got to believe.
He's just like, he's just so low on confidence right now.
Yeah, and it's hard to get it in this North Melbourne side.
Well, look at Hawthorn last year. Look at, you had bloody McDonald, Ginnivan, Watson, Sicily, Weddle. You just had them prancing around the MCG, kicking the ball off their pinky toe, 45 metres, lace out. You had Kalsha Deer floating around, Meek Mondays. Like, compare that to Harry Sheasel. Like, just compare the pair.
Bang.
Like,
simples.
Like it.
Sponsorship plug there. Industry simples. Super fans, get on board.
North have...
Sorry, Cookie.
North have Essendon this Friday. And they've got West Coast in 2 weeks. So
at Marvel.
Oh, sorry, they've got Richmond. Sorry.
Oh, that's at the G, isn't it?
At the G. It's a graveyard affair.
At what time?
Sunday 1:10. Our favorite.
So Bolter's playing.
Bolter is playing. Here we go.
Legitimately my favorite time to go to the footy.
It's bedtime before it.
Stuff this prime so that's, business.
Beautiful. That'll be a watch. That'll be a ripping
1:10
game.
1:10 on a Sunday. Actually, my favourite time is 1:45 on a Saturday. Oh, can't beat it.
I like 3:20 on a Sunday.
I hate that time slot. Going to the game, I hate it. Because it's like right in the middle of the afternoon. And then it's nighttime.
4:40 is worse on Sunday.
That's half
the reason I go to the Hawthorn game. Seriously.
I hate that time zone. That time slot as well.
Time zone.
Fair enough. Put Hawthorn West Coast there. It's fine, though. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm not complaining. The TV viewership of that game can't have been high.
I can't have. So we're not going to talk about it.
Correct. No need to.
Let's get some flowers for the Dogs. What a win. Win of the round, probably.
Put my hand up. I believe last week I said the Giants had beat them by 7 goals. I'll put my hand up and say I was wrong. I've been a harsh critic of the Dogs this year, but I've officially come around. I put my hand up and say I was wrong. Well played, Doggies. Keep up the good form. You're playing well.
Yes. And it was good to see. They've got a lot of good youth coming through as well. Things with the Dogs, they've got a good young core group. I thought they stood up. So Jed Bustler played his first game. It was pretty good. Dr. Davidson's just giving prescriptions on the wing, loving it. You've got Buku, who sort of seems to have found his straps. He's 25, but he seems to finally, start getting going. Joel Frazier, the locomotive. He'll inherit Bontempelli's number 4, I reckon.
Oh, jeez.
He moves like a locomotive through. He moves like a locomotive through traffic. He's sensational to watch.
Jeez, that's a gutsy call. That's my call. I love it.
That's my call. I'm looking down the camera. Frazier will get number 4 at the Dogs. Bang. Watch this space.
Bang. Love it, Jonas.
But yeah, they've got a good young core group, so it's. They fired very well against the Giants.
How long until Jack Stringer's dropped? That's my question.
How long until he kicks a goal is the real question.
The package.
He has to be dropped at some point. He's got to kick some goals in the VFL and come back.
The package.
Who are the Giants playing next week?
My Deliverer Cup.
They are playing the Giants. They are playing...
I don't know, but Sydney. They're in such bad form.
It's a battle of the bridge. So
you play him in that.
Yes, they do.
Give him a chance to kick 5 on the big stage. I remember
he'll kick 8 against Geelong, I guarantee it. At GMHBA Stadium. If any team's going to play Jake Stringer into form, it's Geelong. We play Harry Mackay back into form. Bloody hell.
Hey, 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 watch your mouth. You didn't play him back into form at all.
He was very good.
He was good.
He was very good. Best game, I reckon.
Let's talk about the Blues.
Yeah.
Let's get right on the Blues. What a win. It was 50-50 going on the game as a neutral. I did not know which way it was going to go. After West Ham lost in the morning, I was heavily inclined to the Blues. So it was that type of day.
When it rains, it pours.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a wanker.
Oh, bang.
No, you said that yourself.
I know. To be fair, I did tip the Blues. I thought I knew it was a bit of a danger game for us. But West Ham came off a shocking loss, and I was really depressed, and it was just a dark day. It was a dark day.
What do you think, T-Dub? Are they back?
Nah. Don't get conned, people. Don't get sucked in. They've beaten North,
a good win, though.
West Coast. Yeah, they played pretty well. To be honest, if I'm brutally honest, that game was more about Geelong than it was Carlton, to be honest. Carlton still have some huge, like, flaws. Number one, they don't know when to switch the ball, because the amount of times they would bring it to the fat side and they'd have no option down the line, no small or tall or mid, was ridiculous. They're just too slow to switch the ball, which against a good team on a good day, you get cut up against. And look, I love Jacob Wiedering, but for goodness sake, punch the ball out of bounds. Don't punch it back into the corridor. Like, come on. Like, it's not hard. Oh, sorry.
It's a recurring theme. A lot of players are doing that these days.
I just don't understand.
It's not enough killing to the boundary.
Just kill the ball.
Addicted to stats. That's what it is.
Harry.
Same with Hawthorn.
Harry Mackay's best game for Carlton ever.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion. It was his best game. He was so good. Like, I know he's kicked seven in the past and six and five, but that was his most complete performance ever. He was so good. And
your game against the Crows this week, that'll be a real test.
Well,
that's a big game.
Silvani won't play, unfortunately. He's got a broken hand, who is the number four ranked key defender in the league, believe it or not.
They were talking about him being All-Australian on SCN this morning.
That is just ridiculous commentary. That is just inappropriate. That's just...
Oh, there's a chance.
Mate, George Hewitt's more chance to be an All-Australian than him. Yeah, tell you what, sure. Steel sidebottom-esque. Cheesy roosted that. Gave it a big oomph. Gave it a roost. But
What do you think, Danis, in 30 seconds about the Cats?
Well, in summary... Carlton were the better team. Geelong didn't really look like taking the lead. Our uncontested game was taken away, and when we had the ball, we fumbled it. Skill errors were costly. I think we really missed Grind Myers. I found a lot of kicks were going over. Like, a lot of our kicks were being overkicked over our players' heads, whereas those cheapy little 25, 30 mega kicks, where it's the chest mark. That's the dinky. The Geelong are the kings of the dink. Close and Myers are the dink, Batman and Robin. Had uncontested game was denied. Fumbly turnover. Jez had a pretty poor game. And then it was decision making.
Kick four, right, man.
It was decision making in the it was decision making. So in the last quarter, where we're pushing, Jeremy Cameron decides to handball it to Shannon Neal instead of kicking it top of the goal square. Sean Manning gets caught holding the ball. We need to force a repeat entry. We need to keep it locked in. And me and Cookie identified this on the wing. We saw Harry Mackay lead up to the wing or left half back, and guess who was on him? Osheng Mullen, who is 2 feet smaller than him. And we went, oh, look, Osh is on Harry Mackay. Let's hope he doesn't kick there. They kicked there. And Osheng Mullen, unfortunately, is not 7 foot, so he couldn't do anything.
It needs to be dropped. It's rubbish. Sorry, Janus.
You watch your mouth out.
No, I'm going to second that. He was terrible.
He's got to go.
Listen, I do have the stats here.
He had 8 touches.
He had 5 frees against.
Yeah, that's enough. That's all we need to know.
He had 8 touches and 5 frees against, and I swear every time Carlton kicked a goal, unfortunately, he was in and around
responsible.
The ball. Yeah, he was responsible. Yeah, go to the VFL, Osh. Just find some form. Don't worry, mate. I still believe in you. I believe in you, O'Sheen. Look at me. I believe.
All right, thanks, Jonas. We'll see him in the twos. All right, what about the Suns?
Jeez,
they were poor in the first quarter, and they just went whack.
I want the Suns to play finals so bad.
They are now with that win. You don't play footy like that and miss the 8. You don't kick 12 in a row. You don't see teams finish in the bottom 6 and do that. That's 12 straight.
Good.
12 goals. Actually, to be fair, Carlton kicked 9 in a row against Sydney 1 year in 2022.
And some of them were pretty good.
But 9's not
goals.
12. What are they? They're 5-1.
See Bailey Humphreys' goal from literally like the centre square? Bloody hell.
He's a powerful unit.
Had a good year, the old Humph.
He gave it a big Humph, didn't he?
They're,
exactly.
I'm at the top 6. They will.
Johnny Noble at 30. Bang.
Bang. Yes, sir.
You know, we're running around. But anyway, up the Suns. Great win. Swans, they're just... They're cooked.
Mentally fragile, I reckon.
They're physically, they're just cooked.
Can't recover.
Yep.
I mean, it's... So normally you have 1 grand final belting. You recover sort of a couple of years later, maybe, if
they've
you're lucky.
They've had 5.
They've had 2. And like, with this list. The 22 and 24. They got belted. Like Chad Warner, Isaac Heaney... Errol Goulden, I know Goulden's not playing. Like McLean, Amati, they played in those games. They've lost by like 80. How much did Geelong win by? 82?
82.
And then they lost by 60 last year. That's a 71 point average losing margin in grand finals. Like that impacts you. I don't care who you are.
They're cooked.
Yep.
They certainly are. Yeah, they're in big trouble. In saying that, they'll probably bet the Blues in a couple of weeks by 6 goals up at the SCG.
Maybe. We'll see. Dockers just quickly had a good win over the Crows. That's a big win for the Dockers. Definitely noticeable. Interesting from the Crom. Very interesting. It's a big game.
I thought Freo outplayed
them,
though. I thought Freo genuinely outplayed them. Like... The Crows had no chance to surge the ball. I swear, half the game, I just saw Fremantle clogging up the middle of the ground. Crows had no room to move.
I feel like Fremantle are going to be a barometer team. I feel like them and Geelong. Geelong are every year. Geelong are sort of the barometer every year just because of how good they are. But I feel like if you can beat Fremantle and Geelong, I feel like...
You're a good chance?
Well... You can make finals. You're probably more likely to make finals than not. Because Fremantle are a good team, but they're just inconsistent. So are Geelong, to be fair. But I think those two teams, if you can, and Adelaide, to be honest as well, throw them in there. If you can beat those three teams, you play finals football. Definitely.
Cool.
And honestly, if you can beat all three, and if you beat Gold Coast as well, if you beat all 4 of them, you're probably a top 4 lock.
Yeah, I like it.
Probably. They're probably the 4 teams that are like the benchmark. I know Hawthorn and Collingwood and Brisbane are bench, like the premiership benchmark, but I'd say those 4 teams I just named are probably the...
I'll tell you what though, Friday night, the Dockers have the Saints at Marvel.
Oh, jeez.
Like, that's... Does anyone remember... Did the Saints play the Dockers last year? And it was one of the worst...
Yeah, that was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen in my life.
That was over King's birthday weekend, wasn't it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. It was a
no, it was the Suns.
It was on Prime Suns
for King's birthday.
I think it was. Wasn't it the same night that Richmond played Brisbane and got absolutely trounced? I think that was the same night.
My point is, Freo have to win that game. It's a big game for the Dockers. They have to win some games away from home. So that's one of them.
They certainly do. I tell you what, I feel like we've done well with the footy analysis, because there are a few games that are just a bit irrelevant. But I tell you who's not irrelevant, and it is writing itself to be the greatest sports story ever. They got promoted out of the National League. They got promoted out of League Two, mainly due to financial circumstance. But I think a lot of people thought that's where it'll end. But they are one league off playing in the Prem. Wrexham are promoted again. And
the third straight year.
They were going ballistic at the race course. And I was very excited. Good to see. But it's an amazing story, this. It really is. I was a big...
Has that ever happened before? Three in a row? Three promotions in a row? Surely not. Not in the modern era. Surely not in the modern era.
You could have gone League One champ Prem. Nah, but you would have heard about it.
It was the first time any club has been promoted for three consecutive seasons within the top five tiers of English football.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go.
Just incredible.
Can you imagine if they make the Prem? It's surely not. Oh.
No. Well,
surely the championship is so much harder than League One. Sure it is. And
it'll be interesting to see how their players go in the Prem. Well, not the Prem. I'm an idiot. Championship, sorry. It will be a big step up, but obviously teams go up and down from League One to the Championship. So
think of the money they're about to get.
Yeah.
Like,
they can spend more on their team now, can't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they get monetary bonus for going up.
Oh, it's a massive amount. Not compared to Championship and Prem, but... Well done, Wrexham.
And speaking of title wins, over this morning, Liverpool have mathematically and officially won the 2024-25 Premier League.
Up the Reds.
After battering the crap out of Tottenham 5-1.
Liverpool!
And if you think the race course was going ballistic, look at the Kop and look at the city of Liverpool. It was a sea of red. Flares going everywhere.
Up the Reds.
Unbelievable.
I've been a fan for a week and I'm already happy.
So, and it's interesting. I saw something somewhere. Liverpool have won the league without spending any money in the transfer windows. They won it for £0.
It's beautiful.
And now all Liverpool fans will be concerned about is whether or not Trent Alexander-Arnold signs on or whether he goes to Real Madrid. He's been very coy about it, being very, very coy. So time will tell what his decisions are. But regardless, he'll go down as a Liverpool legend. Trent, he changed the right-back position.
Bang.
He transformed it. So...
I've got a question for you about this.
Yeah.
So with Liverpool's championship win, they're now equal, like, Premier League championships with which other club? And
it's United, but it's league titles. It's not Premier League.
Okay. Thank you for correcting me. Janus.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
All right, T-Dub, if you were to guess, it is 20. But would you have guessed 20? That's so many.
Titles.
But to be fair.
League
titles.
Yeah,
so they've each won 20 now.
When did it start? Would have been my first question.
So the Prem started in 1990. But league titles started in 1901.
I see what you're saying. 1901. So I would have...
1900 is the first Liverpool.
So I would have guessed probably like 18, 17, 18, because, I mean, you think about it, the AFL's been around since 1898 and Carlton have won 16. It's all the Bombers.
Sure. And it's easier to win the EPL than the AFL.
Especially, yeah, well, it is because it's a monopoly.
Well, it's finishing first. Yeah, it's finishing
but
first.
But it's not even, it's four teams. Because Arsenal are degenerate and Tottenham are bums. So.
Yeah, they're a fake.
Big no, and Man City were irrelevant until like now.
Yeah.
So it's really but, only, yeah. Oh, it's four teams. Arsenal, I'll give them chop out. 20's a lot.
And, yeah.
I mean, the Lakers and Arnie the Celtics slot, have only won 18.
Sorry, you go. Yeah.
Well, 17 for the Lakers, 18 for the Celtics.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
And
love that.
Speaking of Celtics and Lakers, both are involved in NBA playoffs.
Yes.
The Celtics got up. The Lakers are down. Both score lines are 3-1.
Yep.
And along with that, the Knicks are 3-1 up against the Pistons.
Or Janus is really
Pacers,
up and about.
The Pacers are 3-1 up against the Bucks.
Oh, so yes.
There's been a few good series going on. The Knicks-Pistons game is it's been pretty competitive, been pretty tough, hard-fought, contested. Jalen Brunson's going beast mode.
He had a great game today.
Well, I have the stats. He had 32 points, 5 rebounds, and 11 assists. So,
oh, bad.
And he's coming up in clutch moments. I think he won the clutch player of the year.
It's a bit more than KCP.
Hopefully, I haven't mozzed him. I probably mozzed him just by saying that. So
nah,
sorry, Jalen. Coming off an ankle injury as well, just quietly.
What about Aaron Gordon's game winner yesterday?
Oh.
How good was that? That's,
oh, I watched that live.
I don't know if you saw that, James. Jokic airballs the game winner, and then Gordon jumps up, dunks it with like...
.1.
I find it so crazy how like those plays in NBA can be so close, like time-wise. It's like it's just destiny.
Yeah.
Like you just see the red clock, and it like just goes red as soon as the ball goes in the basket. I'm like, how is that like COD timing?
Bang.
I see all the memes. It's so funny.
The Nuggets have won! That's a series. I tell you what. The Clips, Nuggets, jeez, that's good. That is two just very good teams. Two very, very good basketball teams.
I swear the Clippers never make it easy. They always have to play in like a 7-game series every playoff series.
Yeah, it's because they got it's because they got the beard. It's because Harden's degenerate. Nah, Ben Arsh.
All right.
Just magic. Magic torment me. Before we go to the unsung heroes.
Lots of rubbish.
Before we go to the unsung heroes, there was a game in the ice hockey the other day. Montreal versus Washington in Montreal. Game 3 of the series was unbelievable. It was just a humongous game of hockey. A lot of goals. And there was a fight on the bench, which was just captivating. But game 4, no good. Caps up 3-1 there. And today, Edmonton were down 1-3. And Evan Bouchard, one of the most maligned defensemen, because he's not a defenseman. He's a dud. He's an attacker playing in as a defender. And he scored a goal with 28 seconds to go in period number 3 to tie the game. And then the Oilers ended up winning in overtime with a Leon Draisaitl 4-point clinic. So there you go for all the hockey fans that listen to the podcast. We do care because the Dubs are big. The Dubs are big hockey fan. So I figured
I'd
start
that one.
Who do
you want to win the Stanley Cup this year, T-Dub?
That is a really good question. Probably no one from the West, just because I wouldn't. Actually, that's not true. I would not begrudge Colorado, the Avs, if they won it. To be honest, probably not to popular opinion. I wouldn't care if Florida won it again. I don't mind them. I like watching them play. Other than that,
Who do teams not want to win? Is it like the Oilers, the Golden Knights? Do people not like the Golden Knights?
They're just good. Probably. I think everyone wants to see the Leafs choke again because they haven't won the cup in forever. No one wants to see Tampa win it because Tampa won like two in 2 years, like not that long ago. I don't know. I wouldn't care if Toronto won it. But anyway, time for the unsung heroes. Cookie, kick us off.
Now, I don't know. We haven't actually spoken about this pre-recording, so hopefully we don't have any clashes here, but I'm going to kick us off.
I'm very adaptable.
And I'm going to go a bloke who...
What game?
No, no, just let
it be the Carlton game. I'm going to go a bloke who... We gave him a fair bit of lip after the Richmond performance, and so did everyone. Basically wrote the bloke off as for a career. I tell you what, he absolutely dominated the Cats, Janus. I'm talking about Haynes.
The tradie.
Yeah.
The paper.
With 8 intercept marks, 13 marks.
That's a great
20
game.
Touches. Absolutely dominated. I think he had 8 coaches' votes.
Yep.
Yep, he did.
So,
he was good.
He's my unsung hero for this week. Great game, the Haynes Rain.
Oh! Janus?
All right, I'm going a player who he's come to the Dogs in recent times.
Bang.
I'm going with the Colgate man. The man with the nicest teeth in the AFL. Colgate man, James Harms.
Jimmy!
Big Jim.
I was going to say Buddy Hield. But he plays for the Warriors.
Anyway, back to Harms. He had 22 disposals. He had 4 goals. He had 8 contested possessions, and he had 82% efficiency. And all the goals he kicked weren't cheapies. They were good goals. Especially he got nominated for Goal of the Year with one of them. He danced Connor Ryden inside out and snapped it running to the boundary line. So well done, Colgate man. It looks like he's had to work for his spot, the Dogs, after coming over from Melbourne. But great, you keep playing like that, you'll earn your spot. Well done.
Beautiful. I can't believe the words that are about to come out of my mouth.
Oh no.
I've picked a Carlton player. First of all.
Oh.
Yes.
Which is rare
Fair
for
enough.
Me.
Yeah.
Now, this bloke, he's quite possibly the most maligned footballer to ever play for Carlton, if you talk about Carlton supporters. Me included. But I tell you what, without him, we don't win yesterday. And I tip my hat, Mitch McGovern, that is the best game of football you have ever played in a Carlton jumper. He was unbelievable. Him and Haynes. I initially had Haynes, but fair dinkum. The two of them were unbelievable. They were so good. Anyone who watches that game, I think McGovern had like 20 touches, 7 marks at 95% efficiency or something. But he was just phenomenal. He took tackles when he was supposed to, spoiled the ball, won a few contests on the wing against Jez. Like, he was very, very good. Which is,
love that.
Like, he was very good. But
I love the unsung heroes this week.
Like,
love them.
As I said, I can't believe those words have come out of my mouth.
I think we're all shocked.
Yeah.
I was actually curious where that was going to go. I didn't think it was going to be McGovern.
But he was phenomenal.
Because he's so unsung, I forgot about him.
Exactly.
Suppose that gives him the 3.
No.
Are we giving Haynes the 3?
Haynes, Harms, McGovern. Haynes was unbelievable. Like
He was so good.
Haynes was ridiculous.
Funny, on a month
I swear he didn't miss a, he didn't miss a kick, I swear.
He's very good, Haynes. He didn't lose a contest, so
he was no. He was very good. No, are we happy with Haynes, Harms, right. McGovern?
Haynes, Harms, love McGovern, it. Like it.
There we go.
Now we'll wrap.
Like it.
We wrap up. We wrap up the show with our key predictions for round 10. No, round 9.
Yes, round 9.
Round 8.
Round 8. Even.
Round 8. Round
8.
There Jesus. We go. Poof. We're on fire.
I'm out of it. Long day. Bang. All right. Well, I might just kick us off.
Yep.
I'm going with the last game of the round.
Ooh.
I'm going with the Q clash.
Oh, that's big.
I reckon this game will be the first draw of the season. I reckon I reckon it'll be a draw with 80 apiece.
Oh, bang.
I like it, Jones.
Hipwood will kick 3.
Oh.
Love it.
Bang.
Cookie, you're up.
Oh, bang. He's throwing him under the bus.
I'm going to get straight to the point. I think this is the Eagles' first win this week against the D's.
Oh, yes.
They're just going to touch him up, honestly.
Oh,
Waterman
that.
Will kick like 6 on McDonald. It'll be great. We'll see Petraga having... Oh, I shouldn't... No, we're going to be careful what I say. But anyway, we'll see them sad. Put it that way. Yeah, I'm going to back the Eagles in. I think every second week they play well. That's kind of how the Eagles are playing at the moment. They played well against Essendon.
At home as well.
At home... They were never beating Hawthorn. Now they'll put up a good fight against Melbourne.
I like it.
So that's my prediction. I reckon they win by 30 points. Feed up.
There's a storm brewing.
Don't say what you think you're going to say. I've got a feeling. Yeah, you know what? I have flashbacks to the game in like 2013 where we got drubbed by 60 points every time I see this matchup.
The Tigers are going to beat the Hawks.
God.
The Tigers are going to beat the Hawks in a Sunday afternoon thriller and really put the competition on notice.
You know what? They're good.
Bolter's playing.
Good. Of course he is.
Yeah.
3:20. So he's not asleep. yep.
Well, I'll be there.
I like it.
The Tigers are going to beat the Hawks. I was going to say that. I was going to say the Roos are going to beat the Bombers, but I'm like, nah, let's spice it up.
No, look, the Hawks haven't been that good recently. And the Tigers, you never know.
Indeed.
Back him in.
Indeed. Sammy Lawler kicks 4. Gets the 3 Brownlow votes.
The eggplant, yes.
Yes. Jeez, he's a good... He's just a ready-made footballer. Anyway, thank you all very much for listening. It's been an interesting round. Pretty much every game has been decided by 3 to 6 goals. So not thrilling results across the board over the last sort of 6 weeks. But
elements of competitiveness.
Some
but
good football
usually blowouts.
And some good sport going on around the world at the moment as well. So to all your teams that are out there, if you're a Liverpool fan, hope you're up and about. If you're a Wrexham bandwagon, like everybody are here at the 3-quarter time production team.
No, the Hammers are safe, thank God.
Yes.
Thank God.
Big round 8 coming
up. We're safe.
Big round 8 coming up. Hope your team gets up. But and yes, good luck to everyone's teams across the NBA at the moment and the NHL. And yes, we'll see you next week after hopefully the Blues don't blow it against the Crows. But anyway, thanks for listening.
Here we go.